waived kicker Ryan Santoso from the practice squad. The reverse had happened on Friday. Santoso had been signed, and to make room for him, Delario had been waived. So now, 3 days later, Delario is back. Santoso is waived from the practice squad at this point. Of course, we're basking in the glow of a big Titans victory yesterday in Seattle. Final score in overtime, 33-30. And I'm proud to be joined by a couple of my Titans radio partners, Amy Wells and Rhett Bryan. Rhett, let's start with you. What jumped out to you from the Titans' victory yesterday in Seattle?
Let's start with your biggest takeaway from the Titans' 33-30 win in Seattle. Rhett Bryan, you go first.
It's the defense, because they bent. They did not break. They gave up three explosive plays, two of those for touchdowns. And that one right there in the start of the fourth quarter, it was a 68-yarder to Freddie Swain. But they didn't break, and they held, and they forced three and outs. You know, Seattle ended up 4 of 12 on third downs. 33% on third downs is what they allowed in this game. I was very happy and pleased with what the defense did to shore up things and make it right.
After a down spell, the Titans have returned to exactly what it is that they're known for, which is being resilient, which is bending but not breaking. It's keep pushing forward. It's to keep fighting no matter what. We saw it on the offense where they just kept grinding until they got something to break, especially in the rushing attack. We saw it on defense where they would not quit. Every aspect of the game was that Tennessee Titans mentality, was that identity, and it's good to have it back.
I'll go with special teams. Made field goals, 4 of 5. At a hard end of the field where the wind was pushing things to the right, you saw that Randy Bullock made the one that counted. So that was a solid performance. He had 4 touchbacks on 7 kickoffs. On the 3 kicks that were returned, DJ Dallas gained only 10 yards per kickoff return. The 2 punts, Brett Kern averaged 47 yards per punt, didn't have anything returned there, which was good news. I just thought solid overall special teams really helping the Titans big in a close game. You can certainly provide your thoughts for the head coach who's joining us in the next segment. Tweet those questions to us at Titans Radio. Do it right now at Titans Radio. Let's look around the league. Amy Wells, you are first. Most shocking result to you in week 2.
Buffalo's completely shutting out the Dolphins. I'm always surprised when there's a shutout in the National Football League because it's so hard to do. You can beat a team, but to actually hold another team to scoring 0 points is so difficult. So for any team to do it, I'm impressed, especially for Buffalo to do it against the Dolphins. Even though the Dolphins were dealing with some issues, I still thought that was very impressive.
And that's exactly the game I was going to choose because it's a 35-0 shutout. You don't see that very often. The Bills were angry after losing to a Pittsburgh team in week 1. They knock out Tua Tagovailoa early in this ball game. Jacoby Brissett comes in. But Miami, you know, I thought they had defense. You know, Brian Flores has really done a nice job with his team. Didn't score a point. I mean, you know, that's big time. 35-0. That was stood out by a mile over these other scores to me.
And I think the part of it that jumps out is there were few surprises yesterday. The Titans win was a surprise to most at Seattle. The 35-0 result in the Buffalo-Miami game was the other one. Otherwise, in week 2, things settled down and went towards script. It's what we often say. Week 1 in the NFL is a tease. Week 2 is often real life. Now, let's talk real life for a second and see if you believe that the Las Vegas Raiders are real life at 2-0. Are you buying it, Rhett Bryan?
I am buying it, and I'll tell you why. They've done what they've done at 2-0 for the most part without their star running back, Josh Jacobs, who's got an ankle, a toe, a foot. He's got all kinds of stuff going on. Derek Carr is returning to his 2016 form where he was considered to be an MVP candidate in this. I like the way their defense is playing. Max Crosby is becoming one of the underrated stars in this thing. You know, it's well documented his off the field issues with an alcohol problem and all those things. And this guy has just absolutely torn it up. We saw what he did against the Ravens on Monday Night Football a week ago. I'm buying in. Because I look at their schedule the rest of the way, and they don't have a whole lot of tough opponents in this. They've got a game at Denver in 4 or 5 weeks, but they've got some opponents. They could get a really nice record out of this thing, and it's something they would need being in that AFC West division.
I think Derek Carr is back to doing Derek Carr things, and to Rhett's point, he is finding a way to use all of the resources around him on offense. He doesn't need their star running back. He can use a lot of different tools in the toolkit, and that's what Derek Carr has been doing when he's successful. He's able to spread the ball around and really do a good job with that. That's what we've seen him doing in these first 2 weeks. I kind of think they're for real.
And by the way, Mike, he has the best tight end of the game that's not named Travis Kelce or whoever you want, and the baller, Darren Waller, that guy is about to be an all-pro this year, and who knows what from beyond.
Best individual performance of the weekend, Amy Wells.
It's Lamar Jackson, right? I mean, being able to come back from being down 11 to the Kansas City Chiefs. If you're going to beat the Chiefs, you've got to score some actual points. Like, you can't just hold them. You also have to score points. And he was able to have 346 yards of total offense. He had 3 touchdowns. Plus, it was his decision to go for it on 4th and 1 when there was less than a minute left in the game. He took the leadership role, and he was able to make a big play when it counted. It's one thing to have the confidence to say, let's do it, let's go for it. It's another thing to execute when it matters, and he was able to do that. I think that this was his week.
It was almost Bobby Wagner, 20 tackles and a quarterback sack and a loss to the Titans. And he probably got more tackles than that on coach's film. He just continues to show why he is one of the elite linebackers in this league. But because that ended up on the wrong side for him, I go with Kyler Murray. Here's an Arizona Cardinals team that's 2-0. They hosted the Minnesota Vikings yesterday, 29 of 36, 400 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. And a Greg Joseph, former Titans kicker, went wide right in this thing, and they hang on for the win. But they're 2-0. And in a spot where they can really make some momentum now.
The NFC West is 7-1 in the first 2 weeks. The only loss is Seattle to the Titans in overtime. So the NFC West is certainly living up to the billing. Seattle's in last place right now at 1-1, and they lost a 15-point lead in the second half. So it's very reasonable to think all four teams in that division could be 2-0. The NFC West looks like the toughest division in ball right now. I thought somebody would say Derrick Henry. I guess you're thinking, because this is the Mike Vrabel show on Titans Radio, you can't go with it. But I'll give you Derrick Henry's credentials here. 41 touches, 237 total yards, and 3 touchdowns. 41 touches, the 35 carries for 182 and the 60-yard touchdown run, impressive enough, but 6 catches for 55 yards in week 2, 41 touches for the big man. My goodness.
And I didn't know that was an option, Mike Keith. I thought he was off limits.
And we know he's been working on his prowess out of the backfield. Had a career high yesterday with 6 catches, 55 yards. He is becoming an even more dangerous weapon than he already is, this one.
Coming up, head coach Mike Vrabel taking your questions via Twitter at Titans Radio. Amy Wells and Rhett Bryant, thanks for joining us on the Mike Vrabel Show.
You know what makes Nashville so exciting? How much we love to play. Play music. Play football. And just play. Especially when it comes to the Titans. Nissan's been here in Music City for nearly 40 years. And we're thrilled to keep cheering for our home team as they play another exciting season. Here's to a great game. From your neighbors at Nissan, official auto partner of the Tennessee Titans. Tighten up.
What's Titans checking like? Picture having an all-pro service team in your huddle 24-7 who'll jump on your phone call like a game-clinching fumble recovery in 3 rings or less. That's what it's like. And if you open a Titans checking account with at least $100 and a recurring direct deposit by January 15th, you could get a $200 Titans Pro Shop gift card, which you can use to customize your own jersey. Details at TitansBanking.com. Titans checking from Pinnacle. Play hard, bank easy. Member FDIC.
Kick off the new pro football season with the king of sportsbooks. Sign up with BetMGM using bonus code TRN1000 and your first wager is totally risk-free, up to $1,000. Join the action for all the gridiron showdowns from Thursday through Monday night each week. When you register with BetMGM, you'll also get instant access to parlay selection features, live betting options, player props, and daily boosted odds specials on some of the biggest games. From hard-hitting tackles to epic touchdowns, the king of sportsbooks takes every play to a whole new level of excitement. Simply download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com and enter bonus code TRN1000 and you'll get back up to $1,000 on your very first wager. Turn game time into showtime with BetMGM. New customer offer paid in free bets. Must be 21 years or older. Must be in Tennessee to bet. Visit BetMGM.com for a full list of terms and conditions. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Just ahead, we're joined by the head coach of your Titans, Mike Vrabel, on the Mike Vrabel Show, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Next. This is Titans Radio.
Previously been 52-0 when leading by 15 points or more. So the Titans do something that had not been done to the Seahawks in a long, long time as they come from 15 down. Derrick Henry, 41 total touches, 237 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Pass rush, 3 quarterback sacks in the ballgame. Danico Autry with 1.5. He shared that sack, that half, with Jeffrey Simmons. The other sack coming later, Mike Vrabel, from a 23-year-old that most Titans fans may not know well, in Ola Adeniyi. You signed him from Pittsburgh as a free agent. First of all, welcome to the program and congratulations.
Hey, buddy. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Tell the Titans radio listeners who Ola Adeniyi is and why you wanted him to be part of your football team.
Well, he plays extremely hard. You know, he's Toledo, small school guy. That plays extremely hard, came over from Pittsburgh. And I think all he's done is improved and continue to carve out a role here for us. And, you know, he'll continue to play. We got to find ways to get him in the game. And he impacted it. Certainly the other day, I thought it was a good call. The players knew what to do. They did it aggressively, which you could tell. We thought we won the game there, but certainly set up a huge backed up situation for us to get some great field position and ultimately win the game.
Were you pleased overall when you reviewed the tape with your pass rush?
Yeah, I thought we were more aggressive. I thought we're okay with saying, hey, listen, man, he may scramble, but we got to rush him and we got to try to force him off schedule. Much more negative plays. You know, that was a key. We talked about it, trying to get him behind the sticks. They were far too efficient. In their first week, I thought we had much more second and longs, which we won 8 of 11, which then created, you know, third and longer situations, which allowed us to get off the field.
All right, let's get to some questions. Again, you can tweet Mike Vrabel a question at Titans Radio. This is from David. He says, Coach, heck of a win. Congratulations to you and the whole team. How do you keep a team focused and not start to get deflated? The past couple of years, it seems like no matter the situation, you and the team are convinced that a victory is possible and is coming. Again, great win and tighten up.
These are long football games, Mike. We went on the road and we were able to stay efficient, which meant we got the play call in, which meant we didn't have to burn timeouts. So when we were going down there on that fourth quarter, 4 minutes to go, the conversation and what I was thinking was, for whatever reason we go 3-and-out, let's punt it away, right, and trust our defense if it was 4th-and-long. We get a first down, we get midfield, you know, we're in four down territory, and we're, you know, we're going to, you know, tie the game up. But the it allowed us to stay in our offense. You know, we didn't have to freak out and panic. We had those timeouts. We could use the field. We kept gaining positive yards. We threw checkdowns. You know, we got down there, made a decision about the runoff, you know, with the 32 seconds or 22 seconds. But there was great conversation and communication with myself and Todd and obviously Ryan.
Speak of Ryan, that's where you absolutely love having a veteran quarterback, isn't it?
Well, just a guy that understands the situation. I'm amazed at his toughness. I mean, he takes some shots and he gets up and he goes and he leads us and he stands in there and he isn't fidgety. And, you know, I really do appreciate that. I'm going to show the football team some of these shots that he took. And he understands that that comes with playing quarterback. You know, he puts it away. He goes and scrambles. He stands in there and, you know, they hit him late. They hit him in the helmet, you know, with the crown of their helmet and all that other stuff. So, you know, we got to do a better job of protecting him. But he is tough, and I love that he's our quarterback.
All right, another question. This is, how has it been working with Michael Pruitt over the years from Houston to Tennessee to him leaving and returning? He seems like a really resilient guy.
Well, I mean, that's what this league's about. It's about opportunity. You know, coaches go other places. They're familiar with players. We had an opportunity a couple years ago, needed a guy, had some guys go down. You know, Pruitt came in. He was available, learned our system. Done some things to help us win, and you know that group's got to play. You know, I mean, they got to play better. He made some nice catches. We got to play better without the football in our hand. That's what I'm going to be talking about tomorrow when we meet.
Thomas wants to know, with all the crowd noise, especially early, how important was it to keep the drives going? That we only had one false start the entire game. I feel that's been overlooked. Love the discipline that we showed.
It was a long week of practice. You know, we moved those speakers around, Mike, and we put them, you know, 12 yards behind the offense. And, you know, we went on silent all week, and they practiced it. And then Wednesday it looked horrendous. And Thursday it looked not quite as horrendous. And on Friday it looked better. And I felt like that's what you want to see from the week. You want to see continual improvement. And that was a huge factor, us to be able to go silent, to be able to come off on the football. Wasn't perfect, but we did stay in some very manageable situations. I felt like our decision to go on the ball on third down for a multitude of reasons allowed us to get into a play, to not be rushed at the last second coming out of a huddle with the crowd noise geeked up. And you know, I think it helped us a little bit.
Great game, Coach. My first ever Titans game and my girlfriend's first NFL game. Why was it you think that they overturned Julio's TD when he was clearly in bounds? Because I was sitting right there in that end zone, and I saw his toe touch before his heel did.
Well, the toe heel now is going to be counted as the heel, right? If you drag the top of your toe or if you drag any part of your toe, they're going to give you the drag. But unfortunately, it went toe heel or heel toe, and they're going to give that as one continual motion. And then at that point in time, it's did they think that there was some white in between or touching the white, you know, if there was some green in between the shoe and the white. I would venture to say that last year that probably would have stayed on. Got a new regime looking at instant replay up there, so we'll have to figure that out. But that's out of my hands. That's a scoring play. That's going to get reviewed automatically. They decided that he was out of bounds.
This is Titans Radio and the Mike Vrabel Show presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Tweet your questions to the coach at Titans Radio. Matt says, what led you to decide to use a timeout with 32 seconds remaining at the one rather than take the 10-second runoff and keep the two timeouts? Matt says, giving Russell the ball back with 29 seconds was a little scary, Coach.
Well, indeed it was, and the communication – you know, and I have to demand better. I was seeing 28 seconds. So it was under my impression when I was making that decision that was going to go to 18 seconds and start on the ready, which meant we wouldn't have snapped it before, you know, 17 or you know, 16 if we had to whatever, you know, but they spot that ball, they walk out of there, and they wind it. Didn't want to get too cute. Looking back when it went to 32, probably could have taken the runoff, been okay with a couple ticks coming off. Run the football, call timeout, run the football, all provided that we didn't score. We didn't give him the ball with 29 seconds. We gave it to him with 24, 25. We squibbed it to try to take that last playoff. So that's something that we believe in, is when you get down there, that's a play. You know, when we can squib it and get it hopefully inside the 30 or as close to the 25 as we can, that's one less play that Russell Wilson gets to run. I thought we executed that end-of-game situation perfectly. They didn't want to throw the Hail Mary against our look, so they dumped it out there. We rallied, tackled, and went to overtime.
Think about that, though. You know Russell Wilson's career. He's one of the all-time great fourth-quarter overtime quarterbacks. He has 35 game-winning drives.
Is that what it is? I thought it was 31.
35. He is, statistically, he's one of the best of all time. He had a chance at the end of regulation. He had a chance in overtime. Your defense stopped him. There has to be confidence that comes from that.
Well, I think that there has to be from the second half.
Right.
I mean, that has to look like what you remember us looking like. It certainly did to me. I mean, we've been together. You've been here a lot longer than I have. But I think that since you and I have been here with the Titans together, the second half, the last 35 minutes or 6 minutes, is a little bit more of what we're used to. Right, where there's some complementary elements. We're getting off the field. We're creating field position. You know, there's a lot of things that go on look there in field position. Dixon's a great punter. He tried a boomerang. Chet got over there, knew it was coming, caught it, got 12 yards, got it out to the 30. They could have pinned us deep. You know, Kern pinned them back deep in overtime. You know, we punted. We got it at the 39-yard line. It's starting to – that. Those 35 minutes kind of look like what we expect it to look like.
Another question, and you can tweet us these questions, at Titans Radio.
At that verified Twitter account.
At that verified Twitter account, at Titans Radio. Coach, were you surprised that the Seattle defense kept leaving the middle open for the checkdowns?
Well, that's the scheme that they play. They play a cover three zone. You know, the corners are mostly locked up on the outside, but their help comes from those underneath droppers that drop back and get back into those hooks. And in doing that, you know, we call that the umbrella. They open the umbrella and they get out of there. To Ryan's credit, you know, he let it get out, dumped it down. Derek got yards. Prue got yards. Jeremy got yards on that last drive. And, you know, finding completions, finding positive plays. They got north and south. They didn't try to run sideways. They got some, you know, good yards on those plays.
David has tweeted us, and he says, Coach, what do you think is the number one thing that has improved our third down defense so dramatically through these first 2 weeks?
Oh, man, try to get them in third and long. And, you know, we've challenged. We've come up with a couple PBUs between Christian and Rabbit. We've gotten some good pressure. I thought DeNico and Jeff really did a nice job, you know, inside there yesterday. Well-executed game at the end of the at overtime there with Ola coming around to kind of clean them up. So, you know, those are all things that we've been preaching, and you know, hopefully that continues.
One more before we go to break, and again,
we're firing them off tonight.
Hey, we told you.
Barrage in 11
you
minutes.
You said you wanted questions from Titans fans at Twitter, at Titans Radio, and we've got them for you. So that's the coach asked, we get them. What challenges does a West Coast game present that other games do not?
Well, it's a lot of travel. It's long. You know, guys, we were trying to treat guys on the airplane and, you know, watch tape on the airplane. And then, you know, you play that late, you know, we get back at 2 in the morning. You know, it's a quick turnaround. I worry about these guys getting rest. You know, you have to COVID test on Mondays. You know, we want to thank those people and, you know, our trainer and training staff that got that set up. And, you know, we were able to test the players when they came off the plane so that they didn't have to get up this morning. Try to get them as much rest and recovery as you possibly can.
Coming up.
As a mom, you have to plan for everything. But I never planned on my health plan at work costing so much to cover my family. Fortunately, with more than 70 years of experience helping Tennesseans, Farm Bureau Health Plans help me get family-friendly coverage for a lot less. Hey, watch out! So I can focus on raising my kids, not my premiums.
Ow! Ouch! Mom!
Ugh. Find out more at FBHP.com. Farm Bureau Health Plans. Plan on us.
It's countdown to kickoff, Tennessee Titan Flameheads. If you hunger for victory, Kentucky Legend is the fuel for your fire. Because every Tennessee warrior knows, only a legend can feed a Titan. Kentucky Legend, the one brand of premium meats, hand-selected and double-smoked to southern slow perfection for a flavor and juicy tenderness unlike anything mere mortals have savored. Go forth and find must-win game day recipes at KentuckyLegend.com.
You know what makes Nashville so exciting? How much we love to play. Play music. Play football. And just play. Especially when it comes to the Titans. Nissan's been here in Music City for nearly 40 years, and we're thrilled to keep cheering for our home team as they play another exciting season. Here's to a great game from your neighbors at Nissan, official auto partner of the Tennessee Titans. Tighten up.
Hey, honey, got the 70-inch flat screen mounted. Come take a look.
Why are the instructions still wrapped in plastic?
Instructions are just another man's suggestions.
You sure about that?
Need another chance? Get one with Powerball with Double Play. Add Double Play for just a dollar and give your numbers a second chance to win up to $10 million with drawings every Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday. Powerball with Double Play and the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Want to talk to the head coach of your Titans? Now's your chance. Call 877-848-2671 or tweet us at Titans Radio on the Mike Vrabel Show, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans.
This is Titans Radio.
Well, depending on what the scenario is, you know, there's certainly some times there where we think we need to throw the football. And Derek does play a little bit on third down, and Jeremy's done a nice job in his role in protection. So, you know, that's where we're at now.
Why is Jeremy McNichol so valuable in those third down situations? What makes him so good at that?
Well, the protection. You got guys that come from everywhere, and it's not quite as easy as knowing which guys are coming. So there's a lot of things that you have to sort through. You know, you have to be in unison with the line, know who they're taking, know where your scan is, know where your protection is. And Jeremy's done a nice job of that.
All right, this one comes from Jeremy, actually. Regarding the terrible officiating on the particular taunting call that was called against Seattle that I feel was awful, I actually thought it was defensive pass interference. Do you agree with that, Coach?
I don't. I think when a guy gets in another guy's face and taunting's a point of emphasis, that, you know, it's probably going to get called. As far as DPI, I don't know. I think he got there. I think he got his arms around AJ as the ball was there. I think AJ should have kept running instead of put his arms out 10 yards before the ball got there, but I don't know. I mean, I think everybody's going to disagree with the calls. Like, that's just how it goes, you know? Just,
sure.
You know, try to tell the kids when they're little, man, when you go to the ball field, there's going to be bad calls that are going to happen. Balls are going to be called strikes. Strikes are going to be called balls, and you're just going to have to deal with it and adjust.
All right, here's one from, let's see who this is from, Ant. Does Vrabel have a feeling when a Derrick Henry burst is near? Like, did you think that 60-yarder was imminent?
I think that we were getting close. I mean, it was just that, you know, we were breaking off some 10-yard runs. There were some glimpses of double-digit runs. And, you know, again, it just kind of all hit at the same time. And AJ got us started. You know, obviously Adams, you know,
loves to blitz around the line of scrimmage and trigger and do all those things. And he's a very aggressive player. But A.J. got us started, got us into it. And then, you know, Derek knows he's on the corner. And you know, once he got the corner, then the only guy left is the post safety.
He just outruns the angle. So amazing how he does that.
I think
that.
They're just like, he gets faster and he builds speed. And it's fun to watch. You know, it's like, oh, here we go again. And we've come to really expect it, you know, which is what happens when you do something over and over and over again. And, you know, that was certainly a huge play for us. Answered, you know, a defensive mistake, you know, in two plays, answered back.
Huge moment in the ball game, flipping you right back into the contest.
Yeah.
Had to have it.
Get it back to a 7-point game and, you know, giving us a chance to continue to compete.
And then it was like, okay, now we're just going to go back to playing the game.
Right. It was, you know, they hit a home run. They hit a 3-run home run. We came back, hit a 3-run home run, and now we're kind of back on serve here.
Have you started really deeply looking at Indianapolis yet, or does that start more tonight?
You know, we've watched, and all the coaches have watched, you know, just taking a look at who they are. And you know, we're familiar with who they are and, you know, the level of respect that we have for their organization, for Frank and Chris, you know, Ballard, their general manager, and what they've, you know, tried to build. And, you know, so this is going to be another difficult game like they always are. But, you know, these guys are it's a tough test.
They've, with where they are right now with the quarterback situation, and nobody knows exactly where that's going to be, one would figure on paper they're going to want to try to make this as physical a game as possible to sort of take some pressure off the quarterback position no matter who is there. Is that a fair assumption?
Well, they have really good backs. I mean, they've got a great group of backs, you know, and they have no shortage of running backs with speed, and they run hard, and, they, you know, Hines does a lot. There's a lot of versatility. You know, he's been a handful for us before. So, and they do want to play physical, and that's who they've been. You know, again, when they're at their best, you know, and we are, you know, there's a lot of similarities.
What do you see out of them on defense?
Speed. You know, they disrupt the football. You know, Buckner is just a dynamic, you know, length, athletic. You know, obviously they can, you know, they disrupt the football. They get it out. And, you know, Darius Leonard is always trying to turn the football over. Very, very sound and disciplined in what they do. It's hard to get big plays on these guys, you know, because they're very disciplined and sound in their scheme, and they play extremely hard.
Why is Leonard so dynamic at the linebacker spot?
Well, he's got good length. You know, he's got good length, and he can, you know, he runs, and I think he's instinctive, and he's certainly mastered, you know, hammering the football out. And, you know, he looks for it. He goes and searches up opportunities, and he can change the game by turning it over.
Teams in the NFL this year are 15-16 at home to start this year, which is an unusual stat. You got any thoughts on why that is? Why the visiting teams have won one more than the home team to this point?
I would have to look and see how many turnovers the visiting team had and how many turnovers the home team had. I would think that has a lot to do with it.
It's more simple than the fact that just visiting teams are more comfortable now.
I don't think visiting teams are more comfortable now. You know, I mean, I'd have to dive deeper. I mean, there were some uncomfortable moments for us out in Seattle. You know, we'll have to take a look at, you know, dive a little deeper into those stats. Yeah, maybe Rhett can help us out.
Yeah. Back home this week to play Indianapolis, really good home field advantage for the Titans in the opener. Unfortunately, Titans not able to take advantage of it. That's got to be something that if you're going to go where you want to go, you have to be able to take advantage.
Yeah, you always have to win your games on at home. You got to steal a couple on the road, and you got to be great in your division. And we understand that. And we, you know, I want to coach well, and I know our players want to play great, you know, for our fans at home and get a win. You know, that's important to me. That's important to them. You know, so that preparation starts, you know, as soon as we get off this interview.
The more normal routine, which you're going to have for a while now, you're going to have noon games for a while. Your trips are not crazy. Even though you have a Monday night game, it's at home followed by another home game. Does it help to get into routine now? coming off a West Coast trip this early in the season?
Well, as we saw last year, that routine can get busted up at any given time. So I think you have to be prepared for everything. You know, only if you can use it and take it to your advantage and use it to your advantage as far as just the process of practice and taking advantage of being here and treating and preparing and all those things.
Has the football team responded fully the way you wanted them to after what happened in the season opener? Did they do what you wanted them to do completely coming off that game?
Never completely. I mean, I don't think ever completely. It's, you know, but again, we talked about the moments and how we want to play the football game and, you know, how we looked in the second half is what we need to start looking like when we start football games.
Final 30 seconds. That moment in the dressing room looked pretty special afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, just the love I have for these guys and how much they put out there, how important it is to them, and I'm always happy for them. I'm happy for them that they get to enjoy victory and celebrate in a locker room as a team, knowing that everybody that was active, you know, had a part to bring home that victory.
Matt Taylor, the voice of the Colts, is up next. Stay tuned for that. Coach Mike Vrabel, thanks for joining us as usual.
Thank you.
What's Titans checking like? Picture a Hall of Fame coach working up a game plan just for you with checking, savings, loans, and more to lead you to banking victory. That's what it's like. And if you open a Titans checking account with at least $100 and a recurring direct deposit by January 15th, you could get a $200 Titans Pro Shop gift card, which you can use to customize your own jersey. Details at TitansBanking.com. Titans checking from Pinnacle. Play hard, bank easy. Member FDIC.
It's countdown to kickoff, Tennessee Titan Flameheads. If you hunger for victory, Kentucky Legend is the fuel for your fire. Because every Tennessee warrior knows only a legend can feed a Titan. Kentucky Legend, the one brand of premium meats, hand-selected and double-smoked to southern slow perfection for a flavor and juicy tenderness unlike anything mere mortals have savored. Go forth and find must-win game day recipes at KentuckyLegend.com.
We recently talked to a world-renowned gemologist. The optic character of this ruby is brilliant, and the refractive index on this sapphire is simply superb. And judging by the writing on the top of this diamond, I'd say that it could be worth up to $500,000. I'll give it a scratch just to make sure.
Woo! We've got ourselves a real gem here!
Take it from the experts. The new September Instant Games are truly brilliant. See for yourself. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Here's NASCAR driver Jeb Burton for State Water Heaters.
Hey, race fans. It's Jeb Burton for State Water Heaters. If you need a new water heater and you want the best, you need a State water heater. State brand water heaters are both rugged, durable, and available for your home or business. Whether you need gas, propane, or electric, State sets the bar for quality and performance. Log on today at statewaterheaters.com and request a quote. Don't get caught without hot water. Tell them to bring you the best. Bring you a State water heater today.
Got something on your mind for Coach? Stand by as he answers more of your questions. Next on the Mike Vrabel Show, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans.
This is Titans Radio.
It's cause for concern because, you know, talking about a quarterback that has missed time before in the past, he has played a full 16-game schedule just twice before. He's dealt with a lot of injuries and had a foot surgery back on August the 2nd, came back from that about 5 to 6 weeks in terms of the timeline. So he's a tough guy, and he can gut through a lot of pain, but I think this one is certainly up in the air right now in terms of what his threshold is. Can he play on two ankles that are a little bit compromised going into the third game of the season, the first road test of the season for the Colts, and one of the more important road games of the year, and it's so early on in the season.
Matt, the one thing that jumps out taking a negative into a positive is because of that foot surgery, Jacob Eason got a ton of work in the preseason. That has to be advantageous at this moment, right?
Yeah, the Colts feel good about the work that he got in training camp and those three preseason games. He was basically the de facto Colts starting quarterback in training camp for, you know, they had 19 open practices. He was the guy, so to speak, for about 17 of them before Carson came back late in camp. And so I think he grew tremendously from the start of camp to where he is now. The biggest thing for me is just body language-wise. He looks a lot more comfortable. He looks a lot more in control of what the Colts are asking him to do. He gained a lot of confidence in the pocket. He had pocket awareness issues in this at the start of camp. Those rounded into form a little bit. But this is a guy that, I mean, if you're playing a video game, Mike, and you want to draw up a quarterback, you would probably start with the measurables of Jacob Eason, right? I mean, he's 6'4", he's 230 pounds, and he might have the best arm of any quarterback in the NFL, but obviously he's got to put it all together. I mean, he can make all the throws, he can fit the ball in tight windows, but he's never played in a regular season game outside of a couple snaps yesterday against the Los Angeles Rams through an interception. And so I think everything else needs to kind of round into form where he's interpreting defenses faster, making better decisions, again, continuing to grow inside the pocket. But he can throw the ball outside the numbers. He's really good at the RPO game, but he obviously doesn't have the mental aptitude that a Carson Wentz has. Obviously, that comes with 6-7 years in the NFL. He just doesn't have that by virtue of his lack of experience.
Matt, the bottom line, though, is whether it's Carson Wentz or Jacob Eason, you would feel like the Colts are going to need that good running game that they had at the end of 2020 against the Titans on Sunday. How has the Colts' running game been so far in 2021?
You know, it's been okay. It's been good, but it hasn't been to the level that the Colts expect, and it certainly wasn't where it was late in the season last year when Jonathan Taylor finished out the last six games of the season with 741 rushing yards, actually led all rushers in that span. And he even topped a guy like Derrick Henry. That's how good he was down the stretch. So they're trying to get back to that. Right now they're having some offensive line issues. You know, it's been a lot of drama, to be honest with you, with this Colts team with injuries. They've had guys land on the COVID list. They've had surgeries to major players like Carson Wentz and Quentin Nelson early on in camp. So there's been a lot of storylines and a lot of, you know, in and out of the lineup with some big names, especially guys on their offensive line, not to mention Ryan Kelly, missed a lot of bulk of training camp. He had a hyperextended elbow. So you're talking about a lot of guys that haven't played together a whole heck of a lot since late July, and I think that's kind of factoring into the slow start for the Colts offensively. You know, they've allowed six sacks already on the season. They've allowed Carson Wentz to be hit a total of 21 times in two games. That's, again, just not to the level of expectations that the Colts have for themselves up front. You know, last year they were so good at getting rid of the football quickly with Phillip Rivers. You know, I don't think it's something where Carson Wentz is hanging onto the ball egregiously long, but certainly a lot longer than Phillip Rivers was. And so I think, you know, this offense is still getting used to itself, used to each other in terms of the offensive line, the quarterbacks, the skill players. And unfortunately, as they've had some growing pains, they've had to face off against two of the best defenses in the NFL in Seattle and the Rams, respectively. And so that's partly led to their 0-2 start here.
Matt Taylor, voice of the Indianapolis Colts. How would you characterize the defense so far for Frank Reich's team?
Certainly not what they expected at the beginning of the season when they, you know, returned basically everybody from that unit. And last year they were a top 10 defense across the board. They were elite at stopping the run. They were second last year in that department. And, you know, first game right out of the gate, they allowed 140 yards to Chris Carson and the Seattle Seahawks. And, you know, they're allowing some explosive plays in the run game and the pass game. You know, in two games, the Colts have allowed five plays over 30 yards. You know, Cooper Kupp yesterday had 163 yards receiving. And so they're just right now not containing the big plays, and that's dooming them in these games. You know, yesterday, you want to talk about momentum. The Colts tied the game, or actually, I should say, took the lead in the fourth quarter, and then the Rams went right down the field in a blink of an eye in four plays. They covered 70 yards and took the lead again, took over the game in terms of the, of that momentum. And it was the big plays in that series that, that cost the Colts. So right now they're trying to get some consistency back to where they had last year. And this defense under Matt Eberflus, it's predicated on not giving up big plays. It's a very simple defense. It's not overly complicated. The hallmark of it, at least schematically, is keeping everything in front, and they're just not doing that right now. And so that's really concerning when you're talking about a bruiser of a tailback and Derrick Henry and guys on the outside that can take the top of the defense off and Brown and Julio Jones. The Colts have to figure that out, or it's going to be a long game on Sunday and, quite frankly, a long season.
What has the defensive line play been like for the Colts so far in 2021?
Yeah, I mean, it's led by DeForest Buckner. And on the outside, the Colts lost some key pieces from their defensive end positions. They lost Justin Houston, did not re-sign him, and they also lost Danico Autry, who's now playing for the Tennessee Titans coming up this weekend. And so those two guys last year combined for 15 and a half sacks, and it was feast or famine last year in terms of sacks and pressures, and that's sort of been the theme so far through two games for the Colts. They had three sacks against Seattle, only one sack, and not too many pressures on Matthew Stafford this past game. So they have to generate some more pressures, and it's not just the sacks. It's just getting in the face of these quarterbacks to alter throws, to hurry throws, and allow guys in the back end to make some plays and, you know, cover some ground, you know, things of that nature. So that's one thing they have to get cleaned up. And they're betting on themselves. They've got a lot of young guys that have been rotational pieces in the past that they have bet on them in the offseason to take on bigger roles and step up their production. You know, we're talking about guys like Kamoko Touré, Al-Qadim Muhammad, Tyquan Lewis, Ben Banigou. These are guys that have never been anywhere close to, you know, 9, 10, 11 sack a season players in the National Football League. The Colts are hoping that one or two of them turns into that. But right now it's sort of pass rush by committee, but the committee's got to get a lot better and a lot more consistent.
Finally, Matt, let me just ask you about this ball club. It sounds like what you're describing as far as the Indianapolis Colts is just not hitting on all cylinders to start the season, but certainly still hopeful and still capable and not panicking. Fair assessment?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, it's two games. You know, obviously you never want to start 0-2 because the playoff odds for 0-2 teams since 1990 are about 11%. But it's not as if the Colts haven't been competitive. They're not getting blown out. And it's not as if their first two losses are against, you know, teams like the Jets or, you know, the Bengals, you know, teams that we just don't think are going to factor into the playoff equation. So, you know, you look at the paper or the schedule on paper, and these first five games for the Colts, I mean, I don't think I've seen a tougher schedule to begin a season since I've been covering the league, to be honest with you. I mean, on paper, you're talking about five teams right out of the gate for this Colts team, where four of them made the playoffs last year. All five of them won at least 10 games. Two of them won their division. And so it's a really tall order to start the season, but you got to navigate it as best you can because, again, I know the game's not played on paper, but towards the end of the season, the last nine games of the year for the Colts are the easiest based on last year's results. So there's a chance to kind of pick up some steam, find your rhythm, find your footing, and go on a little bit of a run. And I guess the silver lining to all of this is not completely foreign territory to this Colts team and some of their players. You know, you go back to 2018, Frank Reich's rookie season as head coach, they started 1-5, then ripped off 9-10 and got into the playoffs, snuck in as a wild card team. So they have been here before. They know how to navigate things. So as we all know, the NFL, it's an absolute marathon. It's not a sprint. You know, I think this league, it's hard to carry over momentum one way or another week to week. And so it's all about the matchups and it's all about injuries. And right now the Colts have to get healthy at really important positions. They need to start playing closer to a full 60-minute game, certainly than they have in the first two games. But this is a really, really important game for both teams, certainly coming up on Sunday. And the Colts are trying to figure some things out, find out who they are identity-wise on both sides of the ball heading into a game that's certainly going to have a lot of implications on who wins this division come January time.
Matt Taylor, great job. Thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you and the Indianapolis Colts here at Nissan Stadium on Sunday.
I appreciate it, Mike. We're looking forward to it. Thanks for having me.
Titans Radio is produced by Brad Willis and Philip Noel. Our promotion director is Rich Ferris. Director of sales, Hunter Rice. General manager, Allison Warren. Operations managers, Charlie Cook and Paul Mason. Titans Radio's executive producer is Rhett Bryant. The Titans play host to the Indianapolis Colts at Nissan Stadium this Sunday. Kickoff is set for shortly after noon Central Time. Titans Countdown is on the air at 11 a.m. Central. We hope you'll join us. I'm Mike Keith.